This is the Monday Morning Zine. Good morning. I'm Jeff Pope. And today we're talking about education funding and Amendment 23, as well as a citizens group that's active across the state of Colorado to address the shortfall in funding for many districts. And joining me here in the studio this morning is Jim Law. He's representing himself, but he's a person who's concerned living in the Mancos School District. Jim, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Glad to have you here. Education funding in Colorado is below average in the country, and many superintendents have recently and citizens have recently expressed dismay at cuts that just happened. So, for example, there are $1.2 billion in education funding has been cut since 2009, and here in Cortez, the district has lost about $3 million. And the latest legislative cut here at the RE1 school district is something like $212,000. So that's just a one place, one district. We have three here in Montezuma County. We have something like four in the KSJD listening area in Colorado. So what's got you involved in terms of looking at cuts to education? Why is this important?
Well, it was really very simple. A couple of years back, we found out that our school, little school in Mancos, was having a problem. And as you know, school is also a driving force economically in any area. We found out that there was a need right away for a mill levy override. And one had been tried about a year before. And it failed sort of 60-40, as I recall. We put together a group of people and went out door to door, explained to people why we really needed to have this override. They agreed with us, and 60-40, they passed a mill levy override. Then I'm talking to Brian Hansen.
The superintendent of
the Mancos School District. And found out that the state had taken $67,000 from the school budget. Well, we had, with our mill levy override, gotten $276,000 a year for teachers and programs because there was our teachers were getting paid 10% less than all the schools around. So when I found out that there was this $67,000 taken, essentially we're putting money in the top of the barrel and somebody's taking money out of the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
And it's really unfair. It just is wrong. And then I found out that, in fact, this is happening in many districts all across the state.
And this is the district, yours, is one that passed a mill levy override. In fact, it's the per pupil spending in Mancos is $7,975, which is well over the state average of about, let's see, $7,500, and certainly above RE1's, which is just $6,300. So the district took on the people rose up and said, we want mm-hmm. you know, basically played by the rules. And, mm-hmm. and as you describe it, the barrel is being filled at the top and leaked at the bottom. If you just joined us, I'm Jeff Pope, and this is the Monday Morning Zine, speaking with Jim Law, a concerned citizen in Mancos. And we're talking about funding for schools, Amendment 23, which is problematic for keeping money in school districts across the state, and the future of this. There's a movement happening in and across the state, and on the 27th in Durango, there'll be a meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. where interested people can come to learn more about what they can do to bring this issue to the attention of the legislature across the state and certainly our local legislative leaders. Why is this an important issue economically for Mancos? You're a business holder, or you run a business, and
well, it's important because, for example, let's just take Montezuma County. Montezuma County has lost almost $5 million in funding in the past 4 years, And perhaps people should understand what Amendment 23 was supposed to do. It was passed in 2000 simply to take the to correct a problem that had been going on in the 1990s in this state. And the idea was that there would be a way to fund education where inflation plus 1% would be the way that funding took place in the state. And the way that this was calculated is that there was a base funding for every school, and then each school had a factor, the point of which was there may be a demographic issue in a particular area, there may be English as a second language in a particular area, so forth and so on. There may be special needs. So those factors the legislature took a look at when funding started to dry up in the recession, and they said, well, the way we are going to interpret 23 is that the factors are not taken into account in the legislation, and therefore we're going to cut those factors. That put a tremendous burden on the very schools that 23 was designed to actually take care of, so to balance out other issues. Now we're faced with the fact that this has been going on for 4 years approximately. Bottom line is that funding has been cut well below any of our nearby states. If you look at, I've got a list here of states that where the funding is anywhere between $2,500 to $10,000 more per pupil than our state. That's just a gigantic difference. And what that goes to is that you're now, if you have the money, you can pay for better educated teachers. You can attract better educated teachers. All of those things are important in terms of the standards of education in every school. In our world, even a tractor driver on a farm has to know how to run computers, because these very complex pieces of machinery have $30,000 worth of computers in them. And with GPS on them, they have to know how to run something that's extraordinarily complicated, complex. And if they don't know how to do it, then they can't be employed. If they're not properly educated, if they don't have good math skills and so forth. So even in agriculture, it's very important to have a high degree of education.
If you've just joined us, this is The Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Jim Law. Jim is a concerned citizen, concerned with the cuts in education in Mancos and across the state. And we're talking specifically about Amendment 23, its effect on districts across the state of Colorado, and its impact on economic development. Jim, is it tough sometimes to see this education piece as a smoking gun? It's so slow moving. It's almost like a generation it takes to show detriment or improvement when it comes to economic development or retention, that it's hard to get the attention of legislators who are thinking about this year's budget cycle and getting reelected?
I suppose so. I mean, here's the thing. You elect people to office in order to improve your county, your environment, your country. Here, we are facing competition from countries where people are paid a great deal less to do certain kinds of work. If we don't educate our people, the decisions that we make now, the decisions that elected officials make now, will have huge long-term effects. I mentioned that business about, you know, just in agriculture, it's getting more and more complex, and agriculture plays a part in our area. But it's not just that. We've had kids come out of our school in Mancos, and We've had some spectacular kids. But all of the kids need to have these kinds of opportunities. We had two kids go to the Air Force Academy with a free ride. We had one young man go to Platt. Very hard to get into Platt.
The Platt Institute.
Yeah, Platt Institute. So I'm saying those things because those are sort of stars, but we need to have people, a wide range of people, you know, who have the chance to get sophisticated jobs, who can contribute long-term to the community and not end up in prison, or because that's the almost the alternative. If we don't have, if we don't pay for it on this end, we'll pay for it on the other end in low wages, prison environment, all that kind of stuff.
So the movement that's happening across the state to bring the, I guess you'd call it the problems with Amendment 23 to the attention of legislators. Say more about that and what's being done to educate, speaking of education, educate legislators and of the implications of balancing the state budget on the backs of education.
Well, what we're asking for, and people locally need to contact Ellen Roberts and Don Corum and David Archer. Ellen Roberts is our state senator. Mr. Don Corum is our representative. And these folks, I spoke with Ms. Roberts about 2 weeks ago and gave us some background on Amendment 23. And a lot of folks have, a lot of these representatives of ours have focus, her focus is particularly on water, not necessarily on education. But this, to me, is as important. It is the water of the mind, as it were. And Mr. Corum, I have not had a chance to meet with him, but I would ask that people contact Ellen Roberts either by phone or by email, and Mr. Corum, same thing. They have phone numbers there. Ellen Roberts is 303-866-4884, and Mr. Corum at 303-866-2955. And if people can contact their representatives and ask them to make sure that we restore the funding. We're not asking for tax increases. We're not asking for long mandate lists of things to do, put more burden on the schools. If we could just get the money restored that had been taken away, it doesn't have to be done all at once, but it can be done over several years, and without putting a lot of fancy accountability structure in place. When the cuts were made, they left it up to the superintendents to make the cuts. Let the superintendents put the money back. They know where the money needs to go. They, you know, they took the heat for the losing programs and so forth.
Is this a legislative fix or is it more administrative? In other words, do we have to have a new law to put the money back, or can it be done almost as an executive or congressional administrative legislative administrative piece?
I'm not sure what the best mode is for putting that money back. What I would like to do is just have the money, like $300 million, put back without a lot of fancy restraints, directives, and so forth and so on. There is a bill out there, I believe you mentioned that a little earlier, or somebody was talking about that. Mr. Engel and Todd were talking about that as we came in. My read is that it makes no sense to do anything but just restore the money that has been taken out during the recession. And then if there's extra money at some point, then they can start thinking about tinkering around with mandates and so forth and so on. I believe the superintendents know exactly where to put that money, and it's not that complicated.
Do you have a sense that this is a powerful issue around our region, that people are coming together to say, put the money back? I mean, that's what the amendment said, and some fancy reading of the amendment took the money out of education. We're just saying, read it plain and simple and put it back.
Exactly. That's what I hope that's what people want. That's what I'm proposing, and that's what I'm talking about.
Is there a groundswell? Are you feeling this coming, or are you a voice in the wilderness?
I don't know. I would like to think that efforts by citizens who have seen, like I have seen, you know, we go to all this effort to put money into the schools in the mill levy override, and then see it drip out the bottom back to the state. That's sort of fundamentally unfair to my way of thinking, and I would like to see that stop. I can't really answer the question about how everybody else is thinking about it, but it's very annoying to see that work, and I'm fairly sure that there are... I have this huge list of schools throughout the state where they've just lost, like our school, lost 594,000 in the past 4 years out of a small school. That's a huge amount of money. Here in this town, it's 3,354,000.
Here in Cortez.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and the Cortez schools really need money. You know, they've got a heavy burden, a lot of kids, 2,780 or something like that, with a wide range of issues with a population that size.
As we wrap up here, Jim, the Rural Caucus, which is coming up on the 27th in Durango at the library, it's from 6 to 8 p.m., and what is the purpose of this meeting as it relates to education?
It's going to have what we've invited both Mr. Corum and Ms. Roberts there, because all of the most of the superintendents in their area are going to be at this meeting, and we're going to be discussing what to do. Going to be discussing what each school district's issue is, and trying to see if there's not something that, as a group, we can all do up in Denver.
Okay. That's Jim Law. He's a concerned citizen. I'm here to talk about Amendment 23, its impact on us as it's been reread by the legislation. And the Rural Caucus, which is open to the public, will be on the 27th in Durango from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Durango Library. This is KSJD Cortez, KZET Toyac, and KICO Rico, member-supported Dryland Community Radio. Jim, I want to thank you for coming in today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here.